This is a segment from The Annex, an academic sociology-themed podcast. For more, visit us on the web at theannexpodcast.com. So Gabe, what's going on with you?
So I wanted to react to something one of our listeners tweeted, which is Torkil Lyngstad at University of Oslo, who I got to meet a couple years ago. He retweeted this Pew map of where Protestants and Catholics live in Western Europe. And basically it shows that, you know, most of continental Europe is Catholic. The Low Countries are kind of nothing. And then, you know, most of Northern Europe, basically the Scandinavian countries and Britain, are Protestant. And he was saying that, you know, this is kind of a misleading map, and it, you know, the meaning of unaffiliated varies tremendously, and the scan should be gray, which is to say the non-affiliated color. So I was kind of thinking about that and what respects he's right, and what scan meaning Scandinavia should be gray. And I was thinking about that and thinking, like, well, in what respects is he right and what respects is he wrong? So I think he's obviously right in the sense of saying that Scandinavia is primarily a post-Christian culture, not a Protestant culture. And, you know, we were talking a little, and he's pointed out that in countries like Norway, you have automatic church registration, where you just kind of get automatically registered. And I'm thinking, like, well, that's interesting, right? You have this essentially post-Christian culture where you still have a established state church, in the case of Scandinavia, the Lutheran Church, that people are automatically registered in. And so they're nominally Lutheran, but they're not really worshiping in it. Yeah, go ahead.
So I have a question about that, right? So I think that gets at us distinguishing between between religiosity, mm-hmm. right, and culture, right? Yeah. So to what extent is calling these two, to what extent is calling Norway, is calling Scandinavia post-Christian in terms of religiosity, right? But mm-hmm. in terms of calling it post-Christian in terms of culture, right? I think mm-hmm. those are two different things.
Yeah. And well, that's why I think post-Christian is still a pretty useful term instead of just saying non-religious, because there's mm-hmm. plenty of countries that are non-religious, but, you know, you kind of know it when you see it, when you see a post-Christian culture. There's a, you know, a difference between a country that got there from, you know, formerly being a Christian culture and a culture that got there another way. But I was thinking, like, so one way to take this is that you have these kind of policy regimes. So in Scandinavia, you have established churches, but, you know, they're essentially kind of subsumed into the state, and they more or less adopt the kind of values that we associate with Scandinavia. But then you can contrast that with something like Germany, where in Germany, if you affiliate with a church, the Internal Revenue Service, whatever it's called in Germany, basically processes the tithes. And so this has the effect of driving down church membership in Germany, because effectively you have a very high marginal tax rate. You have a higher marginal tax rate if you're a member of a church in Germany than if you ain't.
Gabe, do you mean to say that the government collects church dues on behalf of the church?
Yes, in Germany, not in Scandinavia. Now in Scandinavia, you know, they just have an established church that gets paid out of general tax revenues. I think they might have a separate tithe tax in the same way that, you know, like the FICA is itemized on your paycheck. But you know, I was also thinking. So that's one respect, right? Is you can think about it in terms of these regimes matter, and I almost see it paralleling like Kieran Healy's notion of how blood collection regimes vary. And in some countries, it's almost like by default, everybody gives blood. And there's like institutionalized ways of making sure everybody gives blood. And you can opt out, whereas in other countries, like the United States, you almost have to go out of your way to give blood. Mm. And, you know, the main thing that determines blood collection rates is whether it's kind of, you know, by default you do it or whether you opt out. And then I was thinking another way in which this map is still essentially accurate, even if it's not really, you know, reflecting how people spend their Sundays, is there's a sense in which people could be culturally Protestant or Catholic, mm-hmm. Even if they never go to church. So, you know, there's this old joke about a guy's walking down the street in Northern Ireland, and a gunman steps out of the shadows and points a gun at him and says, you know, Protestant or Catholic? And then the guy says, atheist. And then he says, yes, but are you a Protestant or a Catholic atheist? You know, so it's like, and, you know, similarly, like, I was reading about the novelist Sigrid Undset, who won the Nobel Prize for Literature in 1928 for writing a novel about medieval Norway. And she, in her adult, she was raised with kind of the typical nominally Lutheran, but basically post-Christian, you know, culture of Scandinavia, even in the, you know, in the early 20th century. But, you know, she, in adulthood, converted to become a very devout Roman Catholic. And this was considered scandalous at the time in Norway. Now we're talking about something that happened, you know, 60, 70 years ago. No, longer, 90 years ago. So it's not necessarily going to be exactly the same. But at the time, this was considered, you know, pretty scandalous, even though it was already, to a certain extent, a post-Christian culture. And I think there's a sense in which people are kind of culturally Protestant or culturally Catholic, even if they don't actually go to church or know the Nicene Creed or whatever.
Yeah, I mean, so that goes directly to my earlier point is, you know, if we is Scandinavia still, in terms of culture, right, Protestant, regardless of whether no one goes to church anymore?
I mean, that notion is completely comfortable for Jews.
Yeah, it's an ethno-religious concept, right? And we're used to thinking of Jews as an ethno-religious category, which is one reason why the Census Bureau won't let you say that you're, you know, Jewish or Ashkenazi or whatever is your ethnic group, and they'll recode that as missing data. You know, but we kind of all know that Jewish is an ethno-religious category, and to a certain extent, we're familiar with the idea that, you know, really the only difference between Serbian and Croatian is whether they're Orthodox or Catholic, that those are essentially ethno-religious categories. But I think, you know, even when you get into countries where it's less marked, in part because they're internally homogenous or almost entirely internally homogenous, there's still a sense in which, you know, religious identity, even if it's essentially nominal, is part of the ethnic and or national conception.
For more, visit us on the web, theannexpodcast.com.